Welcome to part one of a special two-part Good Wife edition of the Serious TV Drama Podcast. I'm Scott, and joining me tonight, the Luca Quinn to my David Lee, it's Courtney.
Oh, I like that. Luca's awesome. Hey, you guys, I'm Court. I'm a co-host over at Sci-Fi Rewind and also Legends of Tomorrow. We do it for purefandom.com. Thank you so much for having me, Scott. I'm excited for tonight.
Oh, I almost want to start talking about Legends of Tomorrow with you since I just finished watching last week's episode about 20 minutes ago. But pretty much everyone who watches The Good Wife doesn't watch Legends of Tomorrow.
That's assured. I think we're an anomaly. We like good things and bad things.
Or at least guilty pleasure things.
Exactly.
But yeah, this is, I'm finally doing an entire podcast devoted to The Good Wife. Two-parter. We're going to do one tonight and we're going to do one following the series finale next week. I mean, I've talked about The Good Wife a few times in the past, back when Dan and I used to do these monster podcasts where we covered, like, you know, 7 or 10 different shows, and I'd make him go have a sandwich, and I'd talk about The Good Wife for, like, 10 minutes, because he doesn't watch the show, that's why.
Yeah, that was always funny.
But considering we were coming near the end, I felt that if there was ever a show that kind of deserved, you know, a proper send-off, or at least a podcast, this was it. And yeah, I bet there's plenty of podcasts about The Good Wife out there, but they're not me, and they're not you.
Yeah, and I don't think I've really listened to any, unfortunately.
Yeah, me neither, but then again, I listen to very few podcasts unless I've had some affiliation with them or connection to them or something, or they're like good friends of mine or something like that.
Sure, I usually do whatever's recommended.
Right. I usually take the recommendations and I lie and I say I've listened to them, but I never have. I don't think I've listened to one podcast based on a recommendation ever in my life. Except for the very first one I ever listened to. And from that point on, never again.
Note to self, do not recommend podcasts to Scott. Got it.
There you go. You can recommend TV shows and movies. Podcasts, that's probably not going to happen.
You probably won't take those from me either.
Well, yeah, I've seen some of your taste, but that's for another podcast. When I show up on yours and start criticizing everything, I get kicked off. But we're here to talk about The Good Wife, like I said. And, you know, I have to admit, The Good Wife is one of those shows that I came into a little bit late. Mm-hmm. And looking back on it, and TV in general, that probably happens more often than not. I mean, I'm a TV guy, obviously. There's very few shows I haven't watched at some point in time. But it becomes more and more rare to say you were watching a show from the get-go, like right when it first aired. It seems like we're always playing catch-up, you know, via recommendation or a binge watch or whatever. A friend of mine, she's probably going to be listening, so I'll give her a call out, Adrian, convinced me eventually to watch The Good Wife because I had no interest in it.
Mm-hmm, because of the title?
The title was number one. It's like, The Good Wife? I don't like the title. I do enjoy legal dramas, but I didn't know if I was really in the mood to watch another one. I was just getting over Boston Legal at the time. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There was just nothing that I had heard about it that really was hooking me into wanting to check it out. I think I basically eventually just watched it because I felt guilty. Because I've given her many TV recommendations over the years. I was like, all right, maybe I should finally take one. And I got addicted to it pretty fast. And so I was buying like iTunes seasons and staying up all night just watching them one after the other. Which is weird with a show like this, especially the early seasons. Because while they're, especially the early ones, mm-hmm. while it is somewhat serialized, it's also very much procedural in a certain aspect.
Oh, for sure.
You know? And actually, I think that's probably one of the best things about this show is that they've probably melded the single episode procedurals with the long con, what am I thinking of? You know, the long arcs, the serialized storytelling. Yeah. And I really like the blend that they've done here. So I think I got into it, I want to say between seasons 2 and 3. It could be between seasons 3 and 4, mm-hmm. but that makes me sound even worse. So I remember Breaking Bad is between seasons 2 and 3 where I fell in love with that show. Mm-hmm. But this one I can't remember, or maybe it was during season 3 or something like that. How about you?
Well, I have this rule where I make myself try everything that's new. Like my favorite time of the year is about to come up, the upfronts in May, where we find out everything that's being picked up with all the pilots and everything. I love pouring through those things. So the fact that Juliana Margulies was going to be in it, I loved her in ER. And Chris Noth, I was on board from the start. And I've just been watching it since then. And I loved all the different ups and downs of it. I did fall off a bit last season, and I wasn't really watching this season at all until you guys were talking about it and some of the things that were going on. I said, let me go back and check back in with this. And I binged it a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I almost missed this amazingness. It's so good.
Oh,
I forgot how good it was.
this actually was probably a really good season to binge watch the way it was designed. So
Yeah.
you picked the right one to do that with.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't blame you for wavering during season six. I mean, we'll talk about that later on in the podcast, but yeah, that was probably one of the two not so bright spots over the history of the show.
Yeah, it was that, and then the fact that during football season, you can never catch the show on time. And then I'm also kind of a Walking Dead person, so I could never catch up. And I would always have like a one on my DVR, and then two, and then three, and then it felt like you were so far behind you couldn't catch up. So I'd be like, oh, I'll catch up in the summer.
It is a shame to have to put this show aside for some for Drek like The Walking Dead at times, but will you? But that's a
I
subject for
know,
yeah,
I
you
know.
know sucks. But anyway,
Quality, right?
for every good Walking Dead episode, there's about two or three bad ones, it seems. But
Basically.
hey, you know what? I'm still watching it. I'm gonna watch it again next season. It's not. Hopefully, it won't be a hate watch. But again, not what we're supposed to be talking about.
So much TV.
So much TV. But I would always recommend to people who had the NFL football Sunday situation, like when you set your DVR, just like add an hour to it. That's what I've always done. I'm continuing
Yeah.
to tape it as it tapes it as a 2 hour thing always for me. So now I can watch that in Elementary back to back now, which is kind of
Yeah.
nice.
Like, thankfully, my DVR was always smart enough to catch all of it. Thank God.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've actually had this happen with other shows in the last month or so, where parts of it got cut off because of like breaking news about the election or something like that, which
Yeah.
actually makes me angrier
Oh, for sure.
than
You're
the
sitting in the
football
middle
thing.
watching this amazingness happen, and all of a sudden, people you really don't want to see.
Exactly. All right, so I think what we're going to do with this podcast and probably next week as well, to a certain extent, we're going to talk about the most recent episode first, and then we're gonna kind of get after we move away from that. We're gonna just talk about the series in general, and different topics we want to cover, both in this podcast and next week's as well. I'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end because I want to save some fun or surprises for the listeners until we get to the end, so they have a reason to keep listening. Although it's gonna be kind of a cheat, kind of like Jon Snow. No, I'm kidding. That was fine, but anyway.
That was so much better played than the other ones.
Well, yes, but that's hardly saying much
I
if you're
know.
saying what I think you're saying.
Well, yeah, no spoilers, but I'm just glad. No, see, we can't talk about this
Can't
because
talk
people
about it.
might have seen it,
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah. But you know what?
we'll talk about it offline.
Of course, the funny thing is, as far as a certain thing being spoiled, it's literally going to be the front cover of next week's Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah,
So
it's already everywhere. Like they didn't wait.
it's pointless. So again, people who are tuning in to this to listen to something about The Good Wife probably don't want to hear about other Sunday night shows that we keep segueing. We're like the human DVRs here talking about everything
Truly.
else.
People used to call me, what's on?
So let us get started talking about the latest episode of The Good Wife. Now, the latest episode, or I guess we can call it the penultimate episode, was titled Verdict. This season has been all one-word titles. Someone found out recently online, I think it's amazing how the season titles change the number of words depending on what season it is. Have you heard about that?
No, I hadn't.
Yeah, if you go through the seasons, depending what season it is, every episode will have the same number of words. So in this final season, every episode only is a one-word title. I don't know why they do that. I guess they think they're being cute. Whatever.
That's cool.
It's neat. But so verdict implied we were going to get a verdict or something in this episode because we've been following the Peter storyline as far as will Peter be going to prison? Will he be convicted? Is he even guilty or not? Because that seems to be questionable. It seems like every other scene, oh, Peter's guilty. Oh, maybe he's not. Oh, maybe he is. And I actually enjoy that they're doing that we can't really truly be sure about his guilt, much like I think the viewers feel about Peter in general, because I tend to feel opinions about that character fluctuate over the course of the season. Would you kind of agree with that?
Oh, I would definitely agree with that. Like, you never know where he really stands. He's the ultimate politician.
Yes, and that's actually a perfect way to look at it. It's because, and maybe it's because he's a politician, and the things that he's done. But I'm going to say for myself and most people I've ever spoken about the show with, we've been in the kind of the camp of Alicia. I think it's time to cut him loose. I think this has gone on way longer than it should have. Are you in that camp as well, I'm
Oh
guessing?
God, I was way, way, way past that back in season two. Like, I wanted her to cut string in season one, but it's called The Good Wife, and people argue she can't be the good wife if they're divorced. Yes, she can. She can be the good ex-wife.
Well, it was basically the foundation for the show to begin with, though. So
Yeah, yeah.
because it was kind of emblematic of these politicians who had fallen into scandal, usually, seeing prostitutes and things of that nature,
Yeah.
and more of an examination on the women who, quote unquote, stood with them and
Right.
what they really went through. The interesting thing with Alicia is that she was a professional woman who went back to practice law as opposed to, just like writing a book or something like that, though I guess she could have.
Right.
And, again, when I first heard that was the storyline of the show, I was like,
That's a chick show.
so yay, it's like a Hillary Clinton thing or John, whatever, or Spitzer, or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously the show, much, 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 much more than that.
Definitely.
So, in this episode, one of the things that struck me just calling out something I enjoyed right off the bat, I was thrilled beyond words that they brought back David Paymer to play Judge Cuesta for the
Yes.
trial. He has always been one of my favorite judges, and for Good Wife historians out there, he was the judge in the very first episode of The Good Wife. In the pilot, he's the judge. So I love that they brought him back right here. Pretty much in the final, I'm assuming the final trial of the show. I
Yeah,
thought that was
full.
really nice.
I love it that we're full circle, like with this and Peter. If she had to stay with Peter, then we're back at square one in Questa. Was that thing that he did, was that something that we saw before where the crosstalk, he gets the
No,
ticks?
I've never seen him do the hashtag thing on
Okay.
hash marks before. He's been always been a little bit persnickety
Yeah,
and
yeah.
but he's definitely been one of the best judges on the show. He was such a good judge, they actually had an entire episode about him, and he was involved in a trial himself as a defendant, if I recall. It was towards the end of season, oh, I'm not remembering. I want to say four, three or four, around there. I don't think it was much later than that. I don't think it was five or six. But anyway, I'm glad he was on the show. I'm glad he's alive.
Oh, me too.
No. So that was kind of, and speaking of coming full circle or people returning that were in the very first episode, we also saw the, I guess now he's the assistant state's attorney, Matan Brody.
Yeah.
He was also in the very first episode as one of the ADAs back then. I almost wish the case that had been in the first episode had somehow been the case here. Obviously, that couldn't be, but I kind of wished it had been because that would have been a beautiful full circle thing. It would have been like something out of the Shield or something.
That would have been very on the nose, but very perfect.
You know what? I'm okay sometimes with something being on the nose if there's a nice, lovely symmetry to it. It's like, okay,
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I kind of enjoyed a lot of things about this episode because, I love the trials, but I would have to say, I've always felt that Diane was the best attorney on the show. So I really enjoyed the fact that she was the one taking the lead. At least that's how I've always felt. I mean, I don't know if you have a preferred lawyer on the show. As far as
Diane and Will were my two favorite lawyers. I feel like they have the same kind of technique.
Yes.
So when she went, like her whole manner and technique in this episode, I could totally see him in her place. Like, and I don't know why I still want to pull Will in, even though he's been dead forever.
I'm still sticking to my guns that we're going to get a very brief flashback of Will in the finale. I still think it could happen. It's certainly more likely than Kalinda showing up. I'll say that.
Oh God, Kalinda's never coming back, especially after some comments that the actress made. Like, they had this whole back and forth. It was bad. It was so bad.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole Will thing, I can tell you something offline, but I don't want to spoil anything. All right, it's not a real spoiler. It was something that was in the news, so.
Okay. But, tell me offline.
Yeah. But yeah, the show is so good. I miss characters that have been gone for, what, 4 years almost?
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
I mean, you know, spoiler for our next podcast, because I might as well just say it now. Who cares? One of the things we have planned for our final podcast about The Good Wife, other than talking about the finale, both of us are going to run through our respective lists for, like, favorite characters, favorite villains, favorite supporting characters or recurring characters, because more than any other show, The Good Wife has hit it out of the park with their huge stable of guest stars, recurring characters. I can't think of any other show that's ever been that expansive and diverse and just really out and out amazing about it. It's one of my favorite things about the show the entire time I've watched it.
Agreed. Sometimes I enjoy the guest stars way more than the main characters, and I just wanted more of them.
And one of the nice things about this show is, you know how some shows we watch have really giant casts, you know.
Yes.
You know, right now, like Game of Thrones has a huge cast, or back in
75 characters.
Or back in the day, The Wire had a huge cast. You know, you have shows like that. Now, The Good Wife doesn't have a gigantic cast necessarily, but they have so many different recurring characters that they can pull in and out at any time. Mm-hmm. So like if you look up that show on Wikipedia and you go season by season, you'll see like this very short list of, you know, the main cast. It might be like maybe 7 people or 8 people, something like that. And then you'll see a list of like 50 names, you know, of all the different guest stars. And we're not just talking about crime of the week stuff. We're talking about people who are actually involved in major storylines. It's just become one of the joys of that show. And I think it's become one of those shows that everyone in Hollywood wanted a chance to be on, because they pretty much could get anybody they want on the show. You know, they've had some really amazing guest stars over the years, I think.
Definitely.
So, but another thing that they've done well on the show, and I know you're going to agree with me on this, is they've done, for the most part, I can't think of a couple exceptions just as I'm saying it, they've done a very nice job of adding people to the cast.
Oh, for sure. And like there are other shows where they flood the cast with just new faces, and you get so sick of seeing those new faces. Whereas with this, like, you feel like these new people have been there forever, and they just fit so well. The chemistry is always good.
Right. I mean, I remember after Will left, and it was around that same time, it looked like they were kind of positioning Matthew Good to kind of become like the new Will.
Yeah.
I mean, he never quite became that character, but he was a really good, solid, you know, recurring character on the show. And he did have a reasonable amount of chemistry with Julieta Margulies. I think his only flaw was, you know, he's coming right after Will.
Yeah. And it's weird, because usually with a movie like that, where they kill off such a major character, like, that can be a total turnoff. But he was really compelling, and he made you still enjoy the show along with everybody else. But his joining was a major reason why I stuck around.
I can understand that.
I was bummed when he left, but I'm happy again, and you know why.
Yes, I know why. We'll save it. But you know, if he hadn't left, then he wouldn't have been there to help, you know, Michelle Dockery be happy on Downton Abbey. So.
And that was hugely important. So it's okay.
It wasn't another Sunday night show that was opposite The Good Wife. All the shows are opposite The Good Wife, apparently. But one of the people they added this season, who really gets to shine in this episode, and also almost made me angry for a brief moment in the episode, was Luca, or Luca Quinn, as I mentioned in our intro, your alter ego here.
Fantastic.
First of all, can I just say that between that actress, who's got the most awesome name ever, how do you pronounce her first? Is it Cush? Is that how you pronounce her first name? It's Cush. It's got to be Cush. How else do you pronounce that?
It has to be Cush.
Cush Jumbo. That's her name. That's fucking awesome. But between her and Alan Cumming, when you hear how they actually speak and their actual accents, the two of them should teach a master class on how to disguise your UK origins.
I haven't heard her accent. I have to go find her now.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know he's got that amazing Scottish brogue thing.
Yeah, I've heard him. I love that brogue.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially impressive with him because it's very distinct. I mean, he does, people, if you guys watch, say, Sherlock, he does a little opening for Masterpiece Mystery, and you'll see Alan Cumming. You hear how he speaks. He does a really great job because he doesn't do the more typical English actor thing or British actor thing where they just say, okay, I'm just going to flatten my voice to sound American, which can work. That's what Hugh Laurie does when he played Dr. House, you know. Mm-hmm. But you always can kind of sort of tell, you know, that the Britishness is starting to seep out here or there. Alan Cumming pretty much keeps a lid on it. So does Luca.
Oh, for sure.
Cush, because she's got a lovely, delightful British accent. I watched her in a little symposium with her and a couple different actors from The Good Wife, and I didn't know that. I was like, oh my God, another one? Yet another one? But it was just delightful to hear that. You know, unlike a certain other actress who had been on the show, also who hailed from the UK, who maybe didn't do the best job of always hiding her accent. Not to be all team Juliana, but I'm talking about Archie Punjabi. She didn't always hide her accent very well, I would say, from time to time.
Well, and I didn't mind her accent coming out every now and then again.
I minded it because it was inconsistent. That was my problem. If she just had that slight bit of accent all the time, so it made it kind of mysterious where she's from. Like, oh, she's got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But it just would come out from time to time, and I realized that's just the actor not being able to maintain the accent. I see that. I mean, you see that a lot, especially a lot of movie actors, quite frankly. But it bothered me. But you know, again, I'm just feeling like dumping on her, which is funny because I follow her on Instagram. She's delightful, but you know, whatever. and speaking of interesting actors in the show, did you used to watch Glee at all by any chance?
The first season only, then it went downhill.
Oh yeah, I mean, that was like guilty pleasure from day one, and then I quickly had to stop it because, you know, I had to find my balls again or something.
Yeah.
But I kind of love the fact that the guy, Matthew Morrison, who played the wussy teacher, is playing such a hard-ass prosecutor on
this show. I have a funny story.
Lay it on me.
I used to, well, one of my best friends, she used to be obsessed with, you know, the daytime soaps. Mm-hmm. And of course, he used to be in daytime soaps, and we went bowling with him. Like, it was a whole event, and he was on my team. So I know him.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's awesome.
It's so awesome. But I can't call him up like, hey, tell me about that whole thing that went on with Juliana and Archie, please. No.
You know, I love the idea that will just be a mystery that we will never know. More than the biggest mystery about The Good Wife is not on The Good Wife. It's behind the scenes of The Good Wife. It's what happened between Juliana Margulies and Archie Punjabi that really wrecked the whole Kalinda storyline on the show, you know.
Yeah, and it's so funny because everybody was willing to let it go and let Archie go and do her own thing until that whole scandal at the very end of last season. Oh, where found out that they didn't really shoot the scenes together.
Which and was so ridiculous.
That is so ridiculous. But okay.
I thought it was very obvious because there were two different scenes and two different episodes like that. First one, I thought it was really obvious they were not in the scene together. I mean, anyone who didn't pick up on that, I said, you're just not very observant. It's painfully obvious.
It's
about as obvious as like when you're watching an old episode of Star Trek and they're getting into a big fight and you can tell it's not Captain Kirk or Mr. Spock fighting, you know.
He has a mustache.
Exactly. Like, really? You couldn't shave the mustache? But, I know they must have filmed this episode, who knows how many weeks ago, several weeks ago, I'm guessing.
Oh, for sure.
But I did think it was nicely timed that, at least in the opening scenes, that Diane was wearing a purple jacket. I just wanted to... I thought, wow, that's a weird coincidence.
See, they went back and photoshopped that. That was CGI.
Oh, that could be it.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Anyway. Okay, go ahead.
Now, in an episode which obviously was heavy on the dramatics, because we're following Peter's trial, they did give us some funny here. I mean, like David Paymer, like we said, David Paymer before with the hat. I keep saying hashtag hash marks. I thought that was very funny. David Lee, who I love being the one of the most lovely, insidious characters of all time on this show.
He was so evil.
He's listening to the Mikado, which is a Gilbert and Sullivan, a little comic opera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's totally the kind of piece of music you would picture like Fraser Crane sitting back and listening to and waving his hands in the air to, or even singing along with.
Oh, absolutely.
Just so people know what kind of a production that is. I mean, that's a famous musical that's got characters with names like, you know, Peepo and Pishtush and Nanky Poo and Yum Yum. That's that's what David Lee is listening to, which I thought was such an interesting choice for that character. But can I just right now point out my favorite moment in the episode? Probably my favorite moment of the season, and one of my favorite moments in the history of the show, so much that I even, as you actually know already, I attempted to tape it on my iPhone doing the little voice memo thing, but it sounded awful when I tried to reproduce it for the podcast. So I'm sparing everyone that, at least. I'm talking about, well, both moments between Alicia and Lewis Canning were great, because I love the Lewis Canning character. I think he's one of the best lawyer/adversaries I've ever had on the show.
Cosign.
But when Canning tells her about Peter having cheated with Geneva Pine, and Alicia doesn't really even react to it. She says, okay, great. And when she just does her little thing, because he was expecting her to be all upset or something.
Yeah.
And she literally does what you thought I would be upset. Oh my God, I thought my husband was no longer cheating on me. It was hysterical. And when he says, God, I love you. I thought that was so perfect. That was such a perfectly realized moment of him saying, God, I love you, and her saying, I know.
That was an amazing moment.
Because quite frankly, if you've been watching this show for the last, 5-6 years, I think it's been pretty clear, at least since season 3 or 4, maybe not the first couple times he appeared, but every time after that, Canning's had a thing for Alicia. It's not just been admiring her as a lawyer. He's always had kind of a bit of a thing for her. So I love that this may be the last time we see him. I don't know if we're going to see him in the final episode. There may not be a reason to see him in the final episode. But if this is his last moment, I thought that was a perfect way to say goodbye to that character.
Yeah, totally infatuated with Alicia.
The other interesting thing about this episode is, we've got the dramatics, we've got the humor, but we even had a couple moments of really poignant sadness on this episode. And what I'm thinking about specifically is the stuff between Diane and her husband, Kurt. I mean, what did you think of that stuff?
Oh, that had me worried. At first, they had that awesome moment at the little shooting range, and then she had him in court, and all of a sudden, things just took a turn. And so I'm a little worried for those two.
Well, I think the way they played the scene after everything had happened, when he takes her hand and kisses it, I think that was the silent indication that he's not blaming her, even though she's fully taken the blame. Because it wasn't her fault.
Right.
Because, and this is where we go to what I said earlier about being angry with a certain other lawyer, who I understand she's being a lawyer, and she's doing what she can to help her client. Although every time she talks about the client everywhere else, it seems like she doesn't really want to get him off to begin with, which is like, okay, but you don't act like that in court.
Well, she's being professional because Luca is, you know, the number one shipper for Jason and Alicia.
Oh, I know that and I understand that, but she basically just helped throw her boss's husband to the wolves.
She really did.
And because you saw the look on Diane's face because she didn't know that that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was in a daze from the get-go when his former student was saying the stuff on. And it was funny because his student was trying to do her best not to make him sound bad.
Right.
But still, it's just a few words, a few phrases, but just the insinuation that he would put a spin on anything.
Right. Either he doesn't know what he's doing or he's spinning this to make it sound horrible, even before, just not even for this case, for all cases. Like, it's tainted any case he's ever worked on, basically.
Well, it's questioning his integrity.
And exactly.
It's saying, it's making clear that he's maybe making the sound a bit like it's a bit more than it really is. Because,
right.
And it gets worse because initially she's making it sound like it's because his wife is on the defense team. And then Luca makes it worse.
Right. Like, he just does this anyway.
Yeah.
It's not just because it's for this case. He may have done it with Peter.
That's
And then
bad.
It gets worse because then they bring in Carrie.
Carrie, man. The Carrie-Alicia relationship is so fascinating on this show. And I'm sad that right now it looks like as the show is coming to an end, mm-hmm. that it seems to be coming to an end with a rift having developed between these two characters.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they're going to bother to repair that with one episode to go, or maybe that's just the way it's going to be.
I'm going to hope that they repair it. Like, this show has gone on for so long, and yes, they've been on either side. They've been opponents before, but they've been friends and partners longer, and I'm really hoping that they can mend that. That is one relationship that I don't want to see disappear, you know, with this show and not have everything reconciled. Like, I need that fixed.
I would like it fixed, but I also, but then the writer in me, I guess, likes the idea that not everything's going to have a happy ending.
Yeah, I don't need everything to have, you know, the little bows and ties and all that, but I just need that fixed. And we were talking about this before, but the creators, the Kings, they knew that they had this arc that they wanted to do, and then they were going to be done. So as a part of their story, I'd like to think that they tied at least some things up and then left things, other things hanging so that they could just go forward, whoever took over the show, if somebody else took it over or end it. Like, I just need them to fix that part. Like, I don't even, like, you know how much I love Alicia and Jason. I don't even care how they end. But I need Alicia not to be the good wife anymore. I need her to finally be on her own, standing solidly, and just taking care of business.
Well, you may have to pick and choose which things you want or are going to get. Because once Carrie got booted out, essentially left the law firm.
Yeah.
I kind of think that was it for him as far as his relationship with Alicia. Again, I'm hoping, I would hope not. But I don't have high expectations for it. We'll see in a week, you know.
No, so is it going to be 90 minutes or 2 hours?
I haven't heard it being longer than an hour. I mean, I could be, I don't know, but
I mean, since they were just throwing around 90 minute episodes, I think this one should get one.
I would love it if it did, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think it's going to. I think all three shows that night are all going to be their finales.
Yeah.
Of course, that's the series finale, whereas Madam Secretary and Elementary, I think, will just be their season finales. I mean, I'm only guessing that about Madam Secretary. I don't watch that, although it's also been recommended to me. I find it funny that the people who recommend that show to me are people who haven't seen The West Wing, which every critic who's ever watched, who's seen it, is like, well, it's kind of like a poor man's West Wing. So I just tell people, hey, why don't you go back and watch The West Wing? It's all on Netflix, and then you can get back to me whether I should watch Madam Secretary.
Yeah, Scott, it's not bad, but don't bother.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
But I know Elementary is also having their series season finale that night.
Don't say that.
No, it's season. It got renewed. It got renewed.
Yeah, good.
It's actually gotten really good the last couple episodes.
Okay.
Okay, I'm talking about another show. But people should have been watching it. John Noble is on. Fringe fans, where were you?
I know, right?
Anyway, actually, he's maybe not, because he's not really funny on Elementary. He's about as serious as death, pretty much, on that show. But yeah, I think it's going to be a regular length show, pretty much. I don't think they've ever had an expanded episode of The Good Wife, as far as I can recall. I think they just tell their stories just like, just like they used to back in the old days.
That's another sign of good writing.
Yeah, they don't. Although, yeah, I was just about to agree, and they're like, although there are some shows that I don't mind if they go on a little bit longer from time to time. Better Call Saul. So back to one of the remaining things about this episode was that I really enjoyed. I want to get your opinion on it. We have Alicia prepping Peter. And I love the fact that they came up with this idea because we got two different things happening here. Because since we're watching Diane and Luca in trial, this is our chance to see Alicia in lawyer mode, which is always also nice to see. I do think she's a good lawyer.
Oh, she's fantastic.
She's no Diane or Will, but she's a good lawyer. But more so for it's one more go around between Peter and Alicia. Because whatever we feel about Peter, when these two get into these really, intense scenes, it's some really good stuff. And I thought we got some really good stuff between these two in this scene.
Oh, for sure. I loved it when they went at each other. Like she did the whole rundown, and basically she was in lawyer mode, and then he took offense to it. Like he rose to her bait.
Yes. Because he was even questioning, wait, is this husband and wife, or are we lawyers here? Because the way her comments seem to be pointed, although, quite honestly, that's the kind of stuff they're going to do in court,
Exactly.
which we then saw them do in
Right.
court,
Right.
which I found kind of interesting that the lawyers would have brought that up on the other side, because I thought that also undermined the credibility of their own witness by bringing that up. So that seemed to be a strange choice on their part, but I'm not a lawyer, so maybe they knew what they were doing. Who knows?
Yeah, it was a couple of things, court things, that kind of threw me off. Like with the whole thing with her texting in court, you can't have your cell phone in court. And who texts with their cell phone in their face like that?
Yeah, I know. I know. You know what? It's one of those things where you gotta let, there are certain mistakes you can kind of let go. And maybe it's
Yeah.
because, she's the wife of the governor and the yada yada yada. They're not checking her, and they're
Yeah.
not, whereas maybe everyone else that would have applied to, I guess. It's not as egregious as, say, watching an episode of Homeland, and somehow someone is texting from the Situation Room and commute. It's like, that's not possible. Even the first of all, even the president has to give up his cell phone. Number two,
Right.
you can't transmit out. Even I know that
Yeah.
because security. I just wanted to bash the difference on the Tonight Show Homeland.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job. Yeah, I was being too picky. I was being too picky. But just like this episode, just watching Alicia, like we said, seeing her in lawyer mode, and even before that, when she was with Matt Morrison's character, when he was trying to offer her the deal, she was like, "I don't care what you believe. I care what you can prove." Like
Yes.
just seeing this Alicia and how different she is from that season one Felicia, who was so unsure of herself and just, I guess, starting out on her own as a single-ish mom. Like it's amazing to think of how she was and how she is now.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the most amazing things about the series is the evolution of that character from, like you say, from season one to season seven, to the point where when they've, I love when they've done this a couple times in the show, when we've gotten, I'm doing air quotes now, people, flashbacks to Alicia in her earlier days. Obviously, it's stuff that's recently shot. They just give her a different wig.
Yeah.
We could do an entire podcast about Alicia's wigs, by the way. But anyway, now I'm sounding like the girl. But everything from how tentative she was, and how eager she was to prove herself, and there's so many things about her character, both as a lawyer and even, but everything else, she's evolved as a parent, and as a person from season one to now. I think it's been some really amazing things, and unfortunately for her, it probably took some tragedies in her life
Oh,
to
for
push her
sure.
forward. I mean, obviously, this whole show starts with, I don't know if tragedy is quite the right word, but her marriage being hit by, with that thunderbolt of her husband cheating and going to prison, and she has to basically start over. And I think that's kind of been a running thing for this character, is having to pick up the pieces and start over. And that happens more than once with her, I guess, on this show, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Alicia and the show, they've reinvented themselves so many times. And it's weird. Other shows wouldn't have survived a lot of the changes that this show has done, but somehow they did it and they came out better for it.
Yeah, one of the really smartest things that they did on this show was you had a show that was, as I said before, you know, it's kind of the merging of procedural with serialized elements. But, you know, after a certain point, it's like, okay, yeah, we get it. You know, it's very nice. And this is just what it's going to be from this point on. And maybe it'll just peter out and get boring. No pun intended. you know, or just end. And we know that there was that certain season where they just tore up the playbook. They just changed everything. They upended the show. They upended relationships. And it was a huge chance they took because when you look, if someone was to do a gigantic binge of the show, way more than I ever did because I binge like a couple seasons. If you binge several seasons in a row, that's kind of a real shockwave. Like, whoa, this is way different than what I've been watching for the last 4 years or something, or 4 weeks, I should say, depending on how much you're binging. But yeah, I do think for a show that, you know, quote unquote, feels like it's, you know, it's on a network, therefore it's a safe show. It's not it's not HBO, it's not even FX or AMC.
It's on CBS. I'm not going to say the old person's channel, but they have a very mature audience.
Yeah, I tend to bristle at that kind of stuff because everyone who says that, then I start pointing out all the shows that they watch that are on CBS. It's like, so then I say, then shut up. But the whole thing is a stereotype.
I know.
It's like, oh, you know, like all the old people watch, you know, Person of Interest with me. Actually, probably a lot of old people do watch that. Anyway, but I really enjoyed watching the way her character has flourished. I mean, Alicia has never been my favorite character on the show. So another spoiler for next week. When I do my favorite list, Alicia is probably not going to be at the top of any of those lists for me. But I think what's kind of made her great was not just how she's evolved, but also how her relationships evolved on the show.
Yes.
You know?
Definitely. And one of the major relationships from season one, and then we'll talk about how it floundered later, but from season one, a really hugely important relationship for her was Alicia and Kalinda. I feel like Kalinda was like her first real friend after everything that had happened with Peter and the scandal and everything. Not counting Will, because Will was kind of her boss and possible love interest from way back when, coming back around. But the whole Alicia Kalinda dynamic was really important because Kalinda kind of showed her that she could be a woman on her own, and she gave her tips and things of how to work it out in court and just be powerful. And then the air kind of came out of that relationship when, of course, she found out that Kalinda and Peter had slept together, which was really weird for me. It felt a little convoluted the way that happened. Like, how did you feel when you found out that? With that development, that twist.
Well, first I thought that Peter has really good taste.
He does. He's hot.
Apparently. I kind of, for some weird reason, I always kind of suspected that was a revelation that was waiting to happen from the get-go. There was just something about it, that about her, the way she befriended Alicia. I kept thinking, this is a character who is a no-nonsense sort of character. Kalinda, I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And she's not the most sentimental or warm of characters, which is another reason why I really liked her. Because, you know.
Why is she hanging out with Alicia?
Yeah.
She totally took her under her wing.
Right. Why this one? Because you got to realize, if you've been working at a law firm, there's probably been any number of nervous or anxious first years, starting out, whatever. You know, this is an older woman who, you know, quite frankly, at least as far as Kalinda would know at this point in time, she shouldn't be hurting for money. I mean, we discover otherwise when we see those quote-unquote flashbacks in a later season.
Yeah.
But as far as we know, like, really, the wife of the ex, I guess at that point he was a state's attorney, right?
Yeah.
You know, ex-state's attorney, whatever. I don't think she needs the help the way these other people do. But I always found it suspicious, but I enjoyed it because I really enjoyed the dynamic between them. Because while Kalinda wouldn't be I wouldn't call her a mentor,
mm-hmm.
but it's more like what you said. It was her first friend. It was the first person who didn't appear to have any sort of ulterior motive to be friendly to her or have a romantic interest the way, say, you know, Will always did. So that's it. Did make it that much more unfortunate when that relationship fell apart on screen, and then apparently whatever was going on off screen pretty much left a negative impact on the Kalinda character for most of the rest of the run of the show. I mean, I'm not saying she didn't have some good storylines.
Yeah.
I mean, she had one horrible one, which we'll talk about another time.
Yeah, things went totally downhill after the whole Alicia Kalinda, when that finally exploded, when Alicia found out the truth. Now, there was that whole party line at first where Alicia or Juliana, she kept saying that if a woman found out that her best friend cheated with her husband or whatever, there was no way they'd be friends. And honestly, that is true. But on a show, they find a way to get over it. But for some reason, somehow, they found a way to never, ever, ever shoot a scene again after this together.
And, you know, it was one of those things that I don't feel I was as aware of until it started being pointed out to me.
I was hugely aware of it because this was a relationship that was really important to me. Because you don't get too many strong female characters having scenes together when they're not talking about love and all that other crap. I said love and all that other crap. But yeah, what is that Benchdale test?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I view it differently because I think we do get a lot of that on the show. I think this is one of the few shows that we do have a lot of, you know.
Well, initially we didn't get that because when you had Diane, for the most part, Diane and Will, they were together. They had their whole bromance thing going, and Alicia was with Carrie a lot. So oh, there yeah. was no real main female besides,
oh,
yeah.
I don't know, but I think other relationships evolved to get to that point.
Yes.
And replace that. I mean, so shifting from, like, say, Kalinda to, say, Diane.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another relationship that went through a lot of changes and shifts over the time. I mean, when the show starts out, Diane's her reluctant boss. She's not the one who believes in her. Will's the one pushing to even have her added to the firm. Not Diane. Diane's more the Diane's on Team Carrie, if I recall, in season one.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like, I don't feel like Alicia and Diane's relationship really came into its own until after Will was gone. I felt like they bonded over that loss. And that's where that really got strong.
I guess. I thought there might have been some warming between them before that, but definitely.
Warming for sure, but not on the level where it was Alicia and Kalinda. I don't feel like there was an Alicia-Kalinda relationship or friendship again until we got Luca.
Yeah, I guess I would go along with that. But the thing is, I think Alicia just became more so career-focused for a lot of the series, as well as being a parent. So maybe, and with all the issues with Peter, there wasn't as much time for either relationships I think relationships also took the role of friendships on the show. Like, so her situation with Will in season two, going into season three, kind of filled that vacuum for her to a certain extent. But, you know, but Diane, yeah, I mean, she went from, like, you know, like I said, she was the reluctant boss. She was, Then there were adversaries, especially, you know, in season five.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, then, you know, they become like their peers. I think Diane respects her as an equal at this point, to the point where I think right now they're about to be partners.
Right? Oh, for sure. Like, partners. She's referred to her as her partner.
Right. And if there's two characters that quite often their scenes would, quote unquote, pass the Bechdel test, it would be the scenes between Alicia and Diane, because they're not usually talking about a guy. They're right. not usually talking about, especially like relationshipy stuff, the way even some of the Kalinda stuff tended to be, especially when the Peter stuff, you know, came out.
Right. This is true.
And speaking of, you know, adversarial relationships, you know, the other one that I'd want to point out is the Alicia Carey situation. Another one that seemed to change from season to season, but always felt like it was natural and never, you know, just forced into a different box from season to season, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, season one, you know, the plot line of that season one is it's a competition between the two of them for that one last chair, I guess. You know, so, but then he's like the prosecutor. So then he's, therefore he's the opposition. He's the direct opposition. You're working for the state when they're, you know, the defense attorneys for any number of cases. And but these two, they end up becoming colleagues again. They end up becoming actual partners in, you know, the amazing season five, whatever.
Yeah, for Will, they were the junior Will and Diane.
Exactly. They were basically Will. They're Will and Diane Jr. That's why when we were talking about the episode verdict, it's really sad to see that now, you know, a rift is, you know, ripped apart between them again. You know, especially after all they've gone through with the partnership and all the hell Carrie had to go through in season six, which was totally horrible. You know, but she was supposed to be trying to help him, but then she kind of sort of didn't.
No, she was really tied up with all her. I hate that. I hated that.
So it's just it's a fascinating show to watch how it's been like waves and how things have changed over the course of time.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, and again, it's a show that could have remained very static, very, like, you know, could have been like your LA Law, not LA Law, excuse me. Although that
Law and Order.
Law and Order. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. You know, or those older CBS shows you were referring to, like your CSIs or your NCISs or whatever, where it's kind of the same thing week after week. So it's kind of like comfort food, and, you know, mm-hmm. it's just a little bit changed. They chose not to stand pat. They had what I guess you'd call were definitely game changers on this show. So I thought maybe we could talk about a few of those, and maybe we should start off with like what I think is probably the biggest one of all. I'm not going to say what it is because I bet you're going to say what it is. So what do you think was the biggest game changer on The Good Wife?
Well, for me, the biggest game changer, and I think the thing that kind of led to everything else, Will dying. That was something that I really didn't expect at all. You know, with shows, or previous to this, because now we have showrunners killing off main characters left and right. I think it's the Game of Thrones effect.
Yeah.
But yeah, previous to this, you would have a main protagonist, and you would have a love entrance and maybe a love triangle, and then you would always know, I guess it got too big, predictable, but you'd always know down the road at some point in time when the show's end, it's going to be Alicia and Will. I know that. It's going to happen. They were meant to be. It's soulmates. It's good. And then season five happens, and you get the whole thing where the law firm gets split. Carrie and Alicia, they go off and they start their own business, and that breathes so much new life into the firm. And then that curveball is thrown at you. And I think on the night that this episode aired, for whatever reason, I didn't get to watch it. And I had glanced at something that talked about a major character's death, and I was like, what major character could they be talking about? So I went and I watched it, and I was oh my God. I was a little horrified. I was so sad, but somehow I kept watching it, even though I swore up and down that I didn't think I want to watch it anymore. And I watched the next episode. I watched Alicia finding out and everybody else finding out. And I kept watching it after that. And the show, it just kept getting more and more amazing. And the reason I'm saying Will's death is because the actor, not the writers, they didn't do this. The actor decided that he wanted to leave the show. So what they did, I guess they scraped whatever storyline that they had planned. And they did the thing where Alicia and Carrie were going to leave the firm. Like, Josh Charles deciding to leave the show is what precipitated that whole thing, and that's what threw everything on its head, because for a while it felt like the show was getting a little stale. And like I said, Will and Alicia, as much as I love them, they had their whole will they won't they when will they when is this going to be over thing going on, and I almost thought that the show was going to end after season five, before it actually started, before we got that huge change where Alicia and Carrie left the firm, and all of a sudden you had all this great stuff going on. And it felt like Josh Charles was turning in some of his best work, and then Diane is always on point. So, like, season five was amazing for the fact that you had Will's death, and then also the whole thing with the firm shakeup. Like, so those, I'm sorry, I took two, but those were the two biggest things. But I'm telling you, like, that's why they did it. They had to do it because Josh Charles said he wanted to do other things. So they did that whole shakeup with the firm, and it was amazing.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I can't. How could I disagree? It would be weird. No, I think when they're going bankrupt, that no, it's not going to be like that. Although I think that is a great storyline, but no, yeah, the Will's death thing, those two episodes back to back,
Yeah.
the books you referred to, the one that aired the following week, that episode might be Juliana Margulies' best work on the show,
Yeah.
period. It was
Yeah.
just an amazing work. She probably does her best work in those couple episodes following his death anyway,
Yeah.
where her being, almost catatonic and then exploding, because she'd never been that emotional a character before.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that when I mentioned earlier about tragedies helping that character evolve, I think from that point on, we would get scenes with Alicia where she could be far more expressive than she had been before, be it positive or negative. I think that kind of opened it up for that, for the actress and for the character as well. It's interesting to know now that that they hatched the idea of them leaving the law firm due to the fact that Josh Charles was going to leave. So that gives much more credence to picking Will's death.
Yeah.
Because my thinking was that was going to be like my 1B choice
Yeah.
or a close second, because I just felt them leaving Lockhart Gardner to begin with, that was such a huge game changer that I didn't see coming,
Yeah, that was amazing.
and it just re-energized everything, and it made you view people differently, because we were put in a situation where we were kind of rooting against Will and Diane quite often, which had never been the case for four, if you were watching from the get-go for 4 years, or if you're watching like me for the last 2 years.
I was team Will Diane.
The
I love
traitors.
Will and Diane. I'm
No,
sorry.
I have no problem with that. I find Josh, I always like Josh Charles, even going back to Sports Night. And quite frankly, the episode where it all blows up, hitting the fan, if that's not the best episode of all time of The Good Wife,
I'm trying. Did he flip her desk? I can't remember.
he throws everything off her desk. I don't know if he actually flips the desk itself. I don't remember the desk being overturned. I know he knocks everything off the desk. Maybe he does overturn it. Maybe I'll go look on YouTube. I'm sure that scene's on YouTube. I
Oh, for
mean,
sure.
it's one of those iconic moments. I mean, that entire episode is just so, it's tense as fuck. And it's just so well played, and I just there's so many layers and things going on. I was admiring the writing of it. I was loving the performances,
Yeah.
and you understand why the characters are all acting and reacting the way they are,
Yeah.
and you can see both perspectives in that episode. It's such a great episode, such a great season. I would say, towards the end of season five, it does start to sag a little bit, maybe because it had been so strong before then. I mean, great finale though. I love the finale of this season, but it was kind of, there was a certain point where we'd gotten past Will's death, but we hadn't really gotten the show back on track. It was kind of like, wasn't bad. It just was kind of like,
What now?
I felt like, I remember thinking, I'm kind of making excuses for the show occasionally when I talk about it,
Yeah.
but then, it ended on a really great note. So it's like, oh, what a great ending. And then we get the following season. So.
And the one memorable part about last season was all the Carrie stuff. Like I felt like they finally gave Matt Zuckery something really good to work with because for a while he'd been sidelined, and what he was turning in was amazing. And then of course he was working with Archie a lot, so that was really good. The one thing I hated about it was that Alicia was off doing her own thing the whole time he was on trial.
Yeah, can we agree that as far as major storylines are concerned, not minor ones like, Kalinda crap, whatever, but major, the state's attorney race in season six, that was just from the get go. I kept going, why? Why? Does anyone want to see this? Do any of us actually think she's going to win anyway? I didn't understand that. I mean, we still had some good episodes sprinkled throughout that season. It wasn't like it was a horrible season.
Yeah.
But when you take the main character and you put her in this thing where I kept going, But she shouldn't want to do this. Why? Why is she doing this? Why would she want to be more involved in the political process? Wouldn't she
exactly.
want to?
Exactly. Like, what is her motivation? This is not why she got into being a lawyer again. This has not. I felt like they were changing the character again, and it didn't feel good in the way that they were changing her. Like, this season six almost made me dislike Alicia a lot.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I was rooting for the guy. I mean, first of all, you go out and you get David Hyde Pierce to be on your show again. Yes. Talking about getting great guest stars or recurring stars. I mean, it's Niles, but nicer.
Exactly. You know?
But from the get-go, I'm like, why would I be voting for her over him? I think I like him better.
Right. And then the way they ended it, it was such a waste of time.
Yeah. The whole thing just adds up to, oh, now she's got like the slight stink of a scandal about her, you know, I guess like her husband or something. Really? That was the point of all this? I wish they could have come up with a totally different idea. I thought they squandered so much cool stuff that they had built up at the end of season five.
Yeah. Like, the only thing I'm going to give them on this is that it took her to the bottom, and then she ended up with Luca. So, and that's been my favorite part of anything over the past couple of seasons.
I'll give you that, but I'll give you that as far as the start of season seven.
Yeah,
that ain't season six as far as I'm
concerned. And Luke and her working outside of her office, and then that neighbor.
Oh yeah, again, the season seven stuff. I have no problem with that. It's season six. The only other thing I really truly enjoyed about season six in memory, although I didn't care much for a lot of the Kalinda Bishop stuff because I just felt. There's a certain monotony to it after a while, although I like the actor. Now he's Luke Cage, whatever.
Yay.
However, the fact that we could get Wallace Shawn on the show as another one of the great, great guest starring lawyers, his scenes with Kalinda might have made up for a lot of crap in season six.
Yeah, Wallace Shawn, he's been fantastic in anything he's ever done.
Yeah, he's one of those actors, you add him to anything, he just instantly makes it better. I've never seen him, and it's like, oh, this season isn't that good once Wallace Shawn entered the screen. No! Inconceivable! Of course he's great on it.
You should watch him in Gossip Girl.
Oh, God. Anyway. So you're just going to keep promoting different Gigi shows. Gilmore Girls, Gossip Girl, whatever.
Hey, come on, Golden Girls, Gilmore Girls, Gossip Girl, Gigi. I need another one now.
What are three shows I have no intention of ever watching?
Oh, okay. My God.
No, I. You know what? I will eventually watch Gilmore Girls because it's been recommended to me by at least one person whose opinion I respect, as well as a few people who I don't, but, you know. But don't tell. But I'm not going to say who they are, so, you know, no one can get angry at me.
Okay.
So, we were talking earlier about the full circle nature of this episode that aired last night, as I know, what, you know, how we've gone from stuff from season one and coming back to like Peter on trial and all these characters coming back, whatever. So Peter, you know, it has kind of come full circle with this character. And how did you feel that they ended the way they ended the episode? By the way, we kind of, let's go back to the episode, because they've had some really funny endings, like kind of sort of cliffhanger endings for the last few episodes. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. I did not expect them to end it this way, because we had had our discussion yesterday and we just knew for sure that we were going to get a verdict and next week was going to be about something else. But nope.
No.
And it's fine because, like we said, it's going full circle now. It's going truly full circle. So we're going to find out what's happening with Peter, and then how is she going to be the good wife again?
Right. And again, this is a show that's done this many times over the course of seven seasons, where they end an episode on a question, literally a question of someone saying something or asking her something, and then we don't get the answer until the next episode. If you can think about it, that's actually happened.
Uh-huh.
A bunch of times on this show, yeah. But the funniest, this wasn't the funniest one. There was one a couple weeks ago where it ends with her kind of not answering. She like she coughs before answering, and then it ends or something. I think it might be the one where Peter asks if she'll stick with him or something, and she doesn't. They don't give her a chance to answer. I think that might have been the one I'm thinking of. But Peter, I mean Peter Noth. I've always liked Chris Noth, you know, on Law & Order.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a Sex and the City viewer, you know, shocker.
That, That's how I knew him first.
Yes, I figured that. Because you're, girl. Anyway.
Clearly, clearly.
But I've really always liked him on this show, even if I've been rooting for Alicia to finally get the hell away from him already.
Yes.
So I love that the turn it took this season where she realizes it's not about whatever is going on in her personal life. It has nothing to do with that. Even if she, there could not be another man on the horizon for miles around. Doesn't matter. The kids are now off to school. There's no reason for them to be together because they're not together.
Exactly.
So why even be together on paper anymore at this point? Plenty of single or divorced politicians out there. That line don't work anymore. And plus, of course, I think for especially for the ladies, you had a better than average substitute for Peter when you got, Jason Krause showing up this season. I think you're a little bit of a fan of his, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you mean Big Daddy Winchester, aka JDM?
We should explain for anyone that's a reference to the Supernatural, right? Because he was the father.
Yes,
Okay.
he is also John Winchester, father of Sam and Dean.
See, I just know him as like the comedian from Watchmen, and now he's apparently going to be Negan on that other crappy Sunday night show. But anyway, go on. He's
Yeah.
go on. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was very uncertain when they were interviewing, I guess the investigators, because Kalinda has some pretty big shoes to fill up. But then he came in with that smile and everything, and like I'm still wondering. I want to know if the Kings are ever going to come out and let us know what their true trajectory had been, because they had this whole 7-year plan for Alicia. Like, what was going to be the plan if Will had lived? Like, is Jason just a Will replacement?
That's an interesting question. It reminds me of when, different shows that their trajectory changed because of it's the same kind of situation. I mean, the one that usually comes to mind first is Lost,
Yeah.
because the actor who played Mr. Echo wanted off the show, and they had to rewrite and change a lot of stuff as a result of that, which impacted storylines for John Locke and Desmond, because a lot of things that ended up happening to those characters were supposed to be Mr. Echo's storylines.
Right.
So you end up wondering what was the original plan, or the fact that what's his name, Benjamin Linus, or the actor playing, was not supposed to be a recurring, a main character on that show.
And look how that worked out.
Yeah, it totally changed. But for a show that quote unquote had a plan, it's like really? Because it seemed like things changed a lot. So I kind of wonder what maybe the island was on a big turtle. Anyway.
Right. But the thing with Jason and Alicia, for this season, speaking of the evolution of Alicia, this season felt like the season where she finally decided to get hers. And I think what helped out with that a lot was Eli's revelation about the whole Will message. Like, when that first happened, I was like, why are they bringing this up again? I thought she heard the message at one time when she was listening to taps. Or did she hear something else? Or she was listening to phone taps at one point in time. And I could have sworn, I thought she heard the message, but I guess not.
Clearly not.
Clearly not. I thought her reaction to that was fantastic, and then when she had to go with them for that whole thing with Iowa for the campaign, she just completely shut down. Like I love that episode for it. Like she just turned into a really rebellious little teenager.
Well, what I liked about it is that it was very real. And
Yeah, she started mourning again. It's been years, and she still mourned that.
because I think we all, no, I shouldn't say we all, many of us have moments
That
in
one
our,
that got away.
or moments that we regret or decisions that we made or things, if we had known this, we would have done that kind of, I mean, I know I certainly
Yeah.
do.
Yeah.
I can come up with a top 10 list of that, but no one ever wants to hear that list. And this was such a major potential crossroad for her, because
Yeah.
how much different would her life have been if she had heard that message?
Right.
And what I thought was amazing about the show bringing that up, I'd forgotten about it. I
Yeah.
never, it was one of those things we thought we'd never hear again, and boom, oh my gosh. And of course it was like a seismic, earthquake for her.
Yeah.
And how many episodes did it take before for her to forgive Eli. That went on for quite a number of
That had to be
episodes.
at least 3 or 4 episodes. And I like the fact that he'd been wrestling with this since then, since Will died.
Yeah, Alan Cumming does such a good job on the show. Never mind, not just with the accent, but just performance, because he plays a lot of different shades.
Yeah.
And when he has these more emotional, quieter, scared, fearful moments, it's really gives so much more about a character who, when you first met Eli Gold way back when, he was never like that. You never had moments like that.
Like, he was smarmy, and you would think he was one note, but then they added so many wonderful layers to him, and you got to know the guy. Like, I'm going to say, spoiler, he's one of my favorites. I love Eli Gold.
That's fine. I don't mind just spoiling it. I actually, in this moment of that revelation, what it kind of reminded me of a little bit? It reminded me of Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And how it took till, gosh, was it an Ozymandias? Was it that late? I think it was, where Walt finally brings up what happened to...
Yes. The girlfriend.
Judy, Julia, always screw up her name. The Jessica Jones
character. I know.
It's pathetic that I always seem to draw a blank on her name. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. The guy who has like 7 different Breaking Bad shirts is forgetting.
Jane.
Well, I knew it was a J name. Ugh, embarrassing. But anyway, the point is, that was a plot point, one of those little things that we never thought we'd hear about again after a while. We thought, ooh, in the third season, it's going to come up. It never does.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, it's a few seasons later and out of nowhere, and it's like, boom, hits him like, like a brick. I kind of it made me think of that kind of in a weird way. Just unearthing a secret that we kind of had almost forgotten about ourselves at just the right time. Gotta hand it to him for that one. I love that kind of storytelling.
Like, when is it going to be the best time for that payoff that's needed? And they waited, they held it. Like you said, we forgot about it. And then they hit us with it again. We started mourning again. And then she put it away. And then Jason was there. And then she let loose. Like, we've never seen her this relaxed or just in love with life.
Yes. I mean, she certainly a far more sexualized Alicia than we're used to seeing. Although she had a few moments at Will. I mean, I won't discount that,
Oh, no, for sure.
She absolutely did. I remember that elevator scene.
Yeah, but then that went away after he died.
Yes. And it just makes me sad just to think about it.
I know.
So, speaking of that, the Will and Alicia stuff, I know that's always been one of your favorite things about the show overall, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yes. You know me. I'm a shipper by nature. I do that thing. And it's instinctual for me. When the show comes on, you have the guy and the girl. How long is it going to take for them to get together and have all their little obstacles and everything? But then they're going to end up together. It's going to be happily ever after. But that didn't happen on this show.
No, I think with that relationship, in a weird way, we kind of got to have our cake and eat it too.
We did.
And what worked with it was the fact, although it fell apart, the show didn't fall apart as well, which sometimes happens with those kind of things. Sometimes the moonlighting effect happens. It didn't happen here. And the tragedy of season 5, with what happens to him, or them just, totally hating each other, which makes that last message she keeps playing in that episode.
That was so sad.
So sad and so horrible. And when you think about that season and those moments, then you go to Eli's confession. That mm-hmm. makes that so much more powerful, because now you can remember just a couple seasons ago, think about how she was playing that message over and over, and she didn't even know what it meant.
Yeah. Like, what was he going to say?
Yeah.
He wanted to make up.
That was definitely, for me, one of my favorite things about the show overall, even if he's been gone all this time, has been the Will-Alicia relationship, absolutely.
Yeah, that was one thing I really hated about his death. Like, she didn't get that closure of that final message from him during that season. And I guess that's why they did it. They held it for the long haul, because she was going to get this other message from the grave.
So, that's probably the storyline that's taken up the most room on the show, because obviously it went on for four and a half seasons, and then we got a little, and then we got a little taste of it again with Eli's confession. Were there other storylines that were among your favorites that they've done on the show over the years?
Well, we kind of already talked about when Carrie and Alicia took off and did their own thing. They had their own law firm for a while, so I thought that was amazing. And then we already talked about Carrie possibly going to jail. I liked when that one episode where he hired that guy to teach him how to be tough in jail.
Oh,
and of
right.
course, then they made that movie about it with Will Ferrell. Was it Get Hard?
Yes, it was Get Hard. Right.
I loved Eli getting some love from Vanessa Williams this season. That was awesome. Eli has been pretty amazing in every season.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, some of his stuff with America Ferrara was always a little strange, but I still enjoyed it. But
I kind of liked them, and I was very sad when they didn't actually happen. It was weird because he was so much older than her, but they had this really crazy, weird chemistry.
Yeah, that was the thing that kind of struck me as weird about was the age thing.
Yeah.
Although I hope I don't have that issue myself soon. But anyway, not soon. Maybe in my future. Shut up, Scott. Go on. Stop talking.
I also liked seeing Alicia beginning yet again this season, but this time around meeting Fresh Blood Luca and Jason. Like we said, it definitely helped revitalize things with the story and Alicia's character for the final season, much needed after last season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think for me, the show tends to be more... What I enjoy the most about the show are the relationships between characters more than, any other major arcs that might be going on. Although, I love the legal stuff. I love seeing them in court. But when I start looking back on the show, it's going to be stuff like the Will and Alicia stuff or although Alicia and Carrie starting a new firm, like you just said, that actually re-energized every case because now they're opposing their former partners all the time, which made it a competition every time, but it was especially with Chubhub seemingly yes. every other episode. But, if I look back, you've got all these other really great, little relationships that evolved or were interesting. Like the one I mentioned earlier during the episode coverage, with Diane and Kurt McVeigh, Gary Cole. I love that because, you had people who were polar opposites, politically speaking, but they still could find common ground and love, or you've got some lovely, bizarre things on the show over the years. Let's go with one of my favorites, Alicia and the character Colin Sweeney, who was the Klaus von Bülow with a better sense of humor character played by Dylan Baker on the show. I can't remember if he showed up or not this season.
I can't remember. I don't think he has.
It's weird. He is on the actor is on The Americans right now, so he's
he's busy.
So he is busy. So that he would have it. Although they both, not so much of a spoiler. They both shoot in New York, so he could have just walked over and done it if he had the chance.
Right.
But I've always loved that really weird dynamic because much like Canning, it's clear yet another disturbed individual. Although I shouldn't say it that way. Canning's not disturbed. He's just he's a sleazebag. But
well, what did we call him yesterday? I called him douchey. You called him
He's a dick. I don't think he's a douche. I think he's a dick. No way is Lewis Canning a douche. No, he's a total dick though.
We talked about this.
Yeah, I've had this conversation. I think on podcast, definitely in my personal life all the time. There's a big there's dicks and there's douches, and then there's assholes. And, you can watch a TV show and there'll be characters who are dicks, which are like, he's such a dick. But you kind of enjoy the character. And you don't want to admit, you kind of even sort of might root for the character from time to time.
Oh, for sure.
You don't ever root for a douche. Just don't. You're just like, you might love to hate the douche, but you never want to be, you might want to be friends with a dick from time to time. You never want to be friends with a douche. An asshole, the thing about being an asshole, everybody's an asshole at one time or another.
It's true.
So that's the thing that everyone gets their chance to be. And I've seen that on this show. We've got dicks, douches, and assholes. I wish we could name the podcast that, but I've been told it's against the rules of human decency or something. But I wish I could.
DDA.
DDA. Maybe I should change the title of my movie to that. Anyway, some of the other stuff I've really enjoyed over the course of time, a couple really odd recurring side characters and their relationship was Elsbeth and Josh Parodi, which is a character played by Kurt McLaughlin. Elsbeth, of course, is Carrie Preston. Anyone who's listening to this podcast knows who Elsbeth is. I'm sure I don't have to say much more about her, but I'll just say I'll be talking a bit more about her next week, and I'll leave it at that. But I love that weird the fact that the show could take the time to have this weird little oddball relationship between these two very minor side characters, I thought was just fantastic. I don't think any viewer felt like our time was being wasted. None of us were going, "Oh, can you get back to Alicia or Carrie or Diane?" Like, I don't know. I don't mind spending some more time with these two weirdos. That's kind of fun. And one final thing is I've enjoyed the parent-daughter relationships on the show. I mean, Alicia and her daughter Grace have gone through a lot. I mean, I will confess there was a time I really didn't like Grace very much.
Season one and two, I'm sure.
And then, the Bible thumping was a little bit much for me, although I did love what it inspired in Alicia. I love her reactions to it because I'm going to say Alicia is at best agnostic from what I can tell. But much like, a character evolving, Grace grew up and she just became a really great character as she got older. I mean, her assisting their little out of the apartment law firm was some of the most fun stuff this season, I thought.
That was awesome.
And finally, talking about parent-daughter relationships, my God, Eli and his daughter Marissa, the funniest parent-child relationship, I think, on the show. Marissa is just fantastic. I forgot to look up the actress's name, but doesn't matter. She's great. She's always really funny. And yet real at the same time. I love the relationship between those two and the way Marissa is with Alicia as well, quite frankly.
Oh, for sure. One of my favorite moments this season was when Alicia and Eli were on the outs and Marissa kind of made them make up a little bit. She's like, "You're mad at my dad? Why are you mad at my dad?"
Yeah, I love that she was trying to do that. And she was also making it clear that my dad didn't send me to do this. I'm doing this on my own. But so as we're winding down here, and I know we just talked about some of our favorite storylines, not to be a bummer and end on a down note, but we got a couple more minutes. Maybe we should also play fair here and m mention a few of our least favorite storylines over the course of the show. I'm going to go with the obvious one, the one that you may or may not agree with me, but I know most people do. Okay, Kalinda and her stupid ex in season
Oh, come
4.
on.
I mean, if there was ever something that totally ruined, wasted, and potentially ruined Kalinda's character, it was that storyline. You don't get it, writers. We like the mystery of Kalinda. She wouldn't be with this guy. And then I was just dreading every time that stuff came on screen. I actually wanted to fast forward those scenes. They became so irritating to me. Definitely my least favorite thing storyline-wise on the show, as far as I can recall. I know you liked it, but you're weird.
Well, I didn't like it. I didn't hate it, though. I wasn't one of the people that completely hated it. I was one of the people that wanted a little bit of her backstory before they went in and kind of ruined things. When an ex-husband all of a sudden jumped out of the screen, I was like, "Oh, this is interesting." And then he was rough, and then she was a little rough. I was like, "Oh, okay, that's a little hot." But then they started getting weird. I was like, "Okay, that's enough. Stop."
Yeah, it was just bizarre. It was disturbing, but not for the right reasons. I
Exactly.
found it tiresome.
Exactly. And then she disappeared him.
Right. It was like, yeah, whatever. The right and the writers admitted they made mistakes there. They came out and said, "Yeah, we fucked up." That's one of the, there's a couple of things that they've messed up on the show over time. That's one of them. When they added that Jason Mara character, I think that was in season 5.
Yes.
That's one of the only. It's probably one of the only problems in season 5, and I think it might have been because the actor had to leave or something as well. So
I
that
was kind of glad he had to leave. He's kind of a show killer. I love the actor, but any show he joins or has a pilot for, it never really makes it.
yeah, he just but that character just didn't work on the show, and I was like, huh, not maybe because I just didn't believe him. I just didn't believe him as a character. Maybe I just didn't like it. So that was probably one of the weaker things in season 5. I really enjoyed the NSA stuff when they first did it.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is a weird one. It's not that I'm not enjoying it now.
Yeah.
It's made me laugh. It's created some interesting story ideas, whatever. But I have to admit, part of me was like, really? They're going back to that well again? Didn't we kind of finish this up? Why are we here again? I kind of wish they'd come up with a way not around it, not to have to do that. I don't mind them having that one episode that happened a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
With the whole Snowden-like thing in the airport. Because that was a storyline.
Yeah.
That could have been the one episode where we had them. But we've had them several times.
Yeah, I was going to point to the one a couple weeks ago. I enjoyed the whole mechanism, the way they handled that. I thought it was interesting and different. But yeah, if you're saying they keep going back so well with it too much, I'll go with you there.
Because I think what would have been better is if it had only been in that episode. Because then if they had let us know in that episode, oh, by the way, they've been listening all this time. That would have been like, oh, shit. That would have been great.
They know everything.
But the fact is we've seen this several times this season. It's like, oh, you know what? Really? More? And why do the NSA keep hiring the same type of schmucks who are into goat videos, apparently? It's like, But that's pretty much it that comes to mind. I was going to say something mean about it, about someone on the show. Stalker Channing's face. But
it's not that bad.
Oh, it's just so weird. Oh.
Have you not seen Little Kim lately?
Yeah, but I don't care about Little Kim.
Oh, yeah, and Rizzo.
Stalker Channing. I mean, at the West Wing, she looked perfectly fine. And now,
she did.
Now something's happened. You know, someone left a needle in her face way too long. Oh, my God. When Jackie has a more normal-looking face than her, and she's probably like 30 years older, you know, it's just weird.
Oh, no. That's also awesome. I like that storyline also. Jackie and what's his name?
Howard.
Howard. Jackie and Howard are awesome. And then Howard's ageism storyline this season was awesome.
I liked it, but for a while I felt that that was their only way to use Carrie for several episodes. And I was like, really? This is what you're going to use Carrie for? I wanted him to be more involved in like court cases and stuff and not just in that storyline. But I did enjoy it. I liked that actor. He'll always be Hesh from The Sopranos to me.
Oh, for sure.
But I do enjoy him on the show. For some reason, I like someone who says things which, you know, tend to be inappropriate or mildly offensive to everyone else. I don't know why.
They're honest.
Oh, yeah, because it's like me. Anyway. So I think we are going to start to wrap things up here.
Definitely.
Like I said, we will be returning next week to cover the actual series finale. And we will also share our own choices for various lists of various characters, yada, yada, yada. You don't need to hear me say anything more about it.
So many lists.
Yeah, so not too many. Don't worry for those of you like, oh, I don't want to sit through a bunch of lists. It'll just be, okay, maybe it will be a lot. Don't worry. It'll be fun. You'll enjoy it. Yes. And hey, if you want to pop out with your own ideas on Facebook, on either of our respective Facebook pages, you know, when we post a podcast, be our guest. I'll probably ignore them, but maybe Courtney might mention them. I don't know. Speaking of which, would you, before I go into my usual thing, would you like to do a little self-promo thing for the double podcast that you are co-hosting currently?
Yes. Currently, I am co-hosting Sci-Fi Rewind. We talk a bunch of sci-fi, TV, movie news, and sometimes it's not even sci-fi. It's just plain fun, and we like talking about TV, kind of like me and Scott just did. We talk about all kinds of TV all the time. We cover Legends of Tomorrow for Pure Fandom. We do a little short 30-minute podcast for them each week, and we've also been doing 12 Monkeys, an awesome show. If you haven't seen it yet, check it out.
I'm just imagining what it would be like to do a half an hour long podcast.
Oh my God. Brad is so surprised because we can both ramble and talk a lot, but somehow we make it happen with just the one show. But imagine us trying to fit one podcast with five different shows. We were trying to do that with Sci-Fi Rewind, and it was always long and he was always complaining. So we did that and it's working. We're also going to do have you seen Mr. Robot?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say Scott. Okay, we're going to be doing that too when it comes back.
Well, I'm going to – I actually just guest appeared on a podcast about Mr. Robot, Mr. Robot O, which is hosted by a fellow podcaster and good friend. Well, yeah, I'll say good friend. What the fuck? friend. Acquaintance. colleague, I don't know what it's called, compadre,
person you know,
person I know via the interwebs, Mike Moody, and I think that's actually going to, the one that I recorded with him is going to get released in the next week, week and a half or so. Because right now they're covering the first season episode by episode, but with no spoilers. So anyone who's watching for the first time can listen along and not be spoiled. And by the way, it's really hard to podcast about a show like that and make sure you don't give anything away about later episodes. Wow.
Yeah, that's why I'm afraid to make any comments whenever he asks for them, because I'm afraid I'm going to say something to ruin it for other people.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Yeah. But yes, I would. That's a show that's like perfect for podcasting. If it wasn't for the fact I kind of want to kind of scale down the number of things we podcast about, that would probably be on our short list of stuff to do. But for all I know, we may end up doing Rectify in its final season, even though hardly anybody watches it. But they should be, because it's such an amazing show.
It is such an amazing show, and they don't have a lot of episodes.
Yeah, so it's going to be a nice, easy one if we choose to do that. I don't know if we will. We may just decide to take it easy this summer. Who knows? Depends on our schedules. Either I have a job, yada, yada, yada.
This is true. I also have written a couple of recaps and things for Lucifer and Outlander on purefandom.com, so you should check that out, Scott. You may fall in love with Lucifer like me.
I have like 9 of them or 10 of them piled up in my DVR. I will get back to it eventually. You're telling me that it stops being the one-note show that it was for the first 5 episodes?
It does. They finally make it pick up, and then the way the season ended, I cannot wait for the next episode. And I kind of want you to watch it, because you're so honest. I just want to hear what you have to say about it.
All right. I'll get to it, and if they can give me a plausible reason why the devil is doing what he's doing, which is basically half the time starring in your typical CBS cop buddy cop procedural.
Yeah.
It's like, really? This is what the devil's wasting his time with, this crap? And she's not that hot. But she is, but come on, he's the devil.
He is the devil.
Come on.
And like, he can't get to her, so it's a challenge. But seriously, like, they do give you a reason, and some of it turns into awesomeness. And plus Maze. Like, Leslie Ann Bradley is beautiful. Go watch for her.
I'll watch it eventually, but I'm sure most of the people listening to this podcast don't care. So,
this is true.
This is why our podcast goes on so long. So thanks, Courtney. Now you're like the new other people.
You're welcome.
Anyway, if you enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our Facebook page for the Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can find us on Facebook by typing in Serious TV Drama Podcast. Like the page, join the page, and join the conversation for shows like The Good Wife and so many more that we talk about on our various podcasts. You can also find us on the iTunes. Again, you can type in Serious TV Drama Podcast there, subscribe to the feed, and also rate and review us. Our ratings and reviews have been stuck on a number for the last few months. I don't understand it, because I know how many listeners we have, or approximately, and it's way more than the number of reviews and ratings we have. So come on, people. Give us some love, just so we can show up higher when people are searching for podcasts about shows like The Flash or whatever the heck else we ever talk about.
Everything. They talk about everything. Go drop a rating. You know you listen. Go do it.
And finally, you can also follow us on the Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at STVD Podcast. It's STVD as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. I release links to the show there. Not that anyone really needs to get them there, but they look real pretty on the links. And I will comment on things from time to time. Although, I'm not as given to live tweeting shows the way a lot of other people are. Because...
Me?
No, I know you do it. I know Susan does it as well at times.
Yeah.
You know what? It's because half of the reason is because I'm usually watching, even if I'm watching a show the same night, it's usually at least 15 to 20 minutes later. You know, it might be because if it's a network show, it's because I want to fast forward through commercials.
Yeah.
And if it's not, it's just because, well, I don't know. I had to have a drink or I had to go to the bathroom. I don't know why. But there's usually some reason that I'm usually at least 10 minutes behind, even if it's Game of Thrones, which is really tricky because I'm commenting on a thread while I'm watching it. And then I realize I better stop commenting because I might get spoiled on something like in 10 minutes.
And right.
I came really close. But anyway, that's. Event. I think I live tweet award shows. That's the one thing I seem to live tweet. So I'll make fun of like the Oscars or the Golden Globes or something like that, but I don't usually do it for TV shows very often. Mainly because I'm trying to be good friends with all the actors, hoping that someday they'll show up on our podcast. That'll never happen.
Well, sometimes you never know.
Yeah, anything is possible.
Yeah, you get these really weird DMs sometimes. But if you want a live tweet, you can live tweet with me. I'm at Jendev, J-E-N-N-D-E-V-E. I live tweet lots of things, so you should follow me.
Okay, that's a good idea. You're a lot of fun. I've watched some of your tweeting, so you definitely are, you put yourself into it, quite frankly.
Yes, I can multitask. People are like, are you watching the show? Yeah, I'm watching and typing.
She's actually live tweeting while we're talking on this podcast right now. It's like, can't believe this is still going on. Will it ever end? He said it was going to be less than an hour and a half. It's not! Which is my cue to wrap things up, because I did want this to be under an hour and a half. So oops. It's a little over, but I'm stopping now. And I'm just going to say thank you, Courtney, and good night.
Thanks for having me.